Welcome to the Becoming You Show with me, your host, Leah Rowling. Do you believe you are capable of choosing your future? Sometimes it takes just one person to believe in you, for you to believe in yourself. If you find yourself continuing to say, someday I will take better care of myself, only to continue living the same day over and over and over again, then you, my friend, are in the right place. I am your biggest cheerleader, inspiring you to become you on purpose and with intention. Are you ready to create a life you love? I'm excited to share with you some big ideas that you can use today to inspire, impact, and influence your life and everyone in it. The Becoming You Show starts now. Hello, my friends. How are you? How have you been? I just appreciate that you're here, and I do take generally a little bit more time to, you know, thank you for coming, but I'm so excited to talk to you about this topic that I'm just going to jump right in. As you know, I usually take a minute to share about what's going on in my world, and thank you for being part of this community and doing the work and making the difference and making your life and how you live it a priority. And so I'll just say that I'm awesome. Life is fantastic, and that I appreciate you. I am going to start this podcast with a question. And this is the question. Are you settling for a good life when a great one is within reach? Or more specifically, where might you be compromising great because good is super comfortable? If you've heard me before share my story, if anyone were to ask me, Leah, do you love what you do? I would say, no, I don't. But I love what it enables me to do. I spent a good couple of decades of my life in publishing, as some of you know, and I always coached. I used to call it my jobby. I used to coach on the side. That is what I loved doing. But publishing was really comfortable, and I made really good money doing it. And my story is not uncommon. I had a conversation the other day with a lady that worked a 9-to-5 at a job she kind of liked so that she could work the night shift for the one that she loved. She said, it's hard. It's hard to leave the benefits, the security, the 401k, the insurance. Sounded super familiar. I had another person share with me that she didn't think that she could make her health a priority by way of working out because she wasn't a morning person. And she also didn't want to take away from family time and or her business to do it. It wasn't worth the sacrifice. So a couple of things to note here. I want you to check your butts and your because generally they are just excusing discomfort. I'm not suggesting that we have to stay in discomfort forever. What I am saying is that for the majority of us humans, building up a little discomfort tolerance would be incredibly beneficial. Discomfort, I get it, goes against the grain of us seeking pleasure and avoiding pain and being comfortable. But the better we get at it, the better we can navigate and manifest a life that we love, one that is fulfilling and satisfying. So it's not worth the sacrifice. Let's unpack that, because the sacrifice is all the becauses and the buts. Remember my story? I don't love my job, but it enables me to do the things that I love. I stay in a job because justification. So let's unpack sacrifice. I believe that we think we have to make all these sacrifices to go after our dreams. But I assure you, you are sacrificing either way. You are sacrificing something by not going after your dreams, or you're sacrificing something by going after your dreams. And this is where we struggle. We know that we desire more, for our life, but the sacrifice is not worth it. And what did I say about the buts? What if we did a little discomfort and a little disappointment better? People say, what would you do if you knew you could not fail? I like to say, what would you do if you knew you could feel anything? What if you could handle a little disappointment? What if you could handle a little uncertainty, a little overwhelm, a little discouragement, and yes, a crap ton of failure? Just recently, a client of mine, they were in a workshop and the facilitator asked that question. What would you do if you knew you couldn't fail? I don't like the question. It pre-assumes that failure is not inevitable. And therefore, it kind of sets you up for failing ahead of time by not even trying or quitting when feeling is required. When you pursue great over good, my beautiful, beautiful friends, feeling is necessary. So I want you to think about your goals. I want you to think about what you really want for your life. And if you need to pause me right now, I want you to hit pause and I want you to think about it. I don't want you just to listen to me talk. I want all of my hope for all these podcasts is it invites you into a conversation that you have with yourself. It invites you to do the introspective work, the self-discovery work. So on the other side of it, you feel something, anything, okay? So I want you to think about what you want for your life, okay? And I want you to be honest with yourself as to why it is that you're not going after it. Okay, you got it? Do you believe that you would have to sacrifice good to get to next level great? Do you think that you would have to sacrifice time that you don't have, money that you don't have, resources that you don't have? Do you think you would have to compromise your integrity or your values? Do you feel like you would have to wake up with all the crazies at 4 a.m. in the morning? What I find is that most people don't want to sacrifice their good life for an extraordinary one because they think it will be too costly. But what if we break it down more and it all comes back to one cost, and it's probably not the cost that you think? The cost is an emotion. Let's say you want to lose weight. Okay, what would you have to sacrifice? We might have to sacrifice eating foods that might sabotage our weight loss efforts. We might have to sacrifice not eating those donuts or not eating the Doritos or not eating the Oreos, okay? What would this require? It would require avoiding the emotion of pleasure, thereby feeling discomfort. It's just a feeling. It's not the food that would be the cost of not being able to eat. It's the cost of discomfort. We might have to work out to lose some weight, okay? We might have to move our body in a way that's unfamiliar. What would that require? A little bit of pain, discomfort. Okay, it's not the workout that's the cost. It is the feeling that's required to do the workout and be in the workout. What might we have to reprioritize with regards to our time to ensure that it doesn't conflict with what we value, family time and sleep? We might have to spend less time scrolling social media, less time shopping, less time watching Netflix, and actually using that time to prepare the food for the week or go for a walk or do some push-ups and squats, right? P.S. That's the challenge that we have this month, the 50-50. It literally takes 5 minutes. I hope you're doing it with me. And I'm super excited to announce the challenge for next month. Super excited to announce that. So stay with me, follow me on social media and I'll announce that there. But I want you to recognize that it's not a huge investment in time. Okay. And the time isn't the cost. The sacrifice, if anything, is the inconvenience. Is navigating a fitter life worth it? Okay, and I can't answer that for you, but for me, it's an absolute. But again, it's not about the time cost. It's not about the food cost. It's not about the workout cost. It is about the emotional cost. Let's say you want to quit your job and start your own business. What would we have to sacrifice? Well, we'd have to put ourselves out there. We'd have to create a ton of value. We'd have to ask people to be part of our mission. The real cost in that attempt, the possible, probable, and most likely and certain rejection is that people might not like your product, your service. Heck, they might not even like you. It might cost you. It might cost you embarrassment. It might cost you heartache and frustration. People will say that they can't afford it. And at the end of the day, it's still just an emotion. It's still just an emotion that if we could get really good at feeling, see how we could accomplish any of our goals, right? My one client that I was talking to in that 9-to-5 job, doing what she kind of likes, to the job that she loves in the evening, she basically offered up to me, "Leah, I would be going from making about $300,000 to literally nothing." Okay. So I want you to check your thinking. If this is you, a few quick things. First, going from 300,000 to 0,000 would be disappointing. It would be terrifying. It would be scary. It would be fill in the blank. It would be an emotion that for sure you could handle if you got good at feeling your feelings. It's actually why I like to have my clients set goals in the first place. It's way more about the attempt and the journey than the actual achievement of the goal. I like the goal because it helps people get better at feeling their emotions, all of them. When we get good at feeling our feelings, as I've mentioned, we become unstoppable in our life. We become more valuable in our life. And the more valuable we become in our life, the more valuable we can become in the world. And P.S., currency money is always a value-driven proposition. So that's first, okay? You could handle it. I promise you this is true. You could handle it. No one has ever died of a negative emotion. Never. No one's ever died from embarrassment. No one's ever died from discomfort, okay? Secondly, going from 300,000 to 0,000 are not the only options that are available, my friends. Too many of us get trapped in this black and white, all or nothing thinking. We believe that we can't possibly have a good life while going for great. So what is required besides embracing and feeling negative feelings? That is what I want to talk to you about today. What's required is gray thinking. Gray thinking is the solve for this trap that many of us fall into. We believe that we must choose between two seemingly opposing options, as if there are just two, this and that, 300,000 and 0,000. We're very binary creatures in general. And this very limited perspective can be super confining and debilitating. It boxes us in and we are left only with more black and white thinking to get us out of the box. And friends, the thinking that got you into the box in the first place is not sufficient to get you out of the box. And this is where I see it play out in my life and in my clients' lives all the time. And I want you to consider that it limits your choices and your decision options. It creates this false dichotomy where you feel compelled to choose one path at the expense of another. And this obviously can lead to feelings of regret and missed opportunities. And so whenever I'm coaching both others and myself, I will forever be my first client. I ask, what else is possible? And they generally answer with either as opposed to many. And we've been conditioned to believe that there are just two options. But I promise you, there are hundreds of different options available in gray. It also stifles our creativity. Creativity thrives in the gray areas between two extremes. When you embrace either or thinking, you stifle your ability to be innovative and find unique solutions to problems. Like I mentioned, our brains, our minds like the predictable this or that, right? Usually this or that is based on your experience, what you have either been through or heard about. And here's the fascinating part about that. Since everyone else is living in the land of binary options, we are not setting ourselves up for infinite possibilities, rather just binary masses. So it stifles our creativity. And if you want to do something different in your life, it requires different thinking. This is not new. But that different thinking involves us being more creative. It also involves us being more flexible. All or nothing, either or, black and white thinking, it minimizes our ability to be flexible. Opportunities for us in our life are rarely black and white. They are filled with a bunch of nuance and complexity. Either or thinking can make you it can make you think very rigidly, and therefore making it far more less adaptable to change, right? We try to put everything in our little box of certainty based on our past. And if we continue to make choices based on our past, we won't have any different possibilities available for us in our future. So if you're wondering why your future doesn't look any different, it's probably because you're in your black and white box. Okay. In black and white, it stifles our creativity. It stifles our ability to be flexible. It stifles our ability to be adaptable, and it creates an enormous amount of stress and pressure. Being torn between two choices typically lends its way to right or wrong decisions, which pressures us to make a decision always from scarcity. And as long as we feel as though our decision could possibly be wrong, we most likely will procrastinate in making it. We would rather, as a species, be 100%, okay? We would rather be 100% that we don't make a wrong choice than a 50% chance that we could make a right choice. There was just research that was launched not too long ago, but people would rather get a painful shock that's 100% painful. They would rather know that they're getting a painful shock than getting a shock that could be painful, also could not be. People choose willingly for certainty, even if it's painful. And so as you can imagine, if this is what we're programmed to do and to want, it can create an incredible amount of stress and sleepless nights and uncertainty, because the implication is that there is such a thing as a right decision. And because most of us have been conditioned to believe that that is true. And because of that, we end up not making any decisions at all. So shifting from this black and white thinking to the gray, the limitless possibility thinking, is essential. It's essential for our personal growth, for our creativity, for our overall well-being, and for a conscious, inspired future. This black and white thinking, okay, it tends to keep us stuck by way of viewing situations and people in absolutes, in good or bad or right or wrong or successful or failure. It doesn't allow us to step into being open-minded and flexible and adaptable. And so thinking in shades of gray is required to shift your life from good to great, from ordinary to extraordinary. So how do we navigate and adopt this gray mindset? I want us to think, if we think about black and white thinking and the shift to limitless possibility, as with everything in personal development, awareness is key. We need to know when we are thinking in black and white. So this is where I want, this is why journaling is so important. And thinking about what you think about is so important. So I want you to catch yourself when you start thinking in always, in never, can't, must, should, need. Overgeneralizations are almost never, 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 never true. Sometimes like, I always fail, or this never works for me, or it's never worked for me, or I'm not the kind of person that can lose weight. I'm not the kind of person that's good with money. I'm not the kind of person that is patient. I'm not the kind of person that's motivated. I'm not the kind of person that's positive or disciplined. These statements are not only usually inaccurate, but they also limit your ability to see other possibilities. And most of us are not questioning our assumptions. Most of us are not asking ourselves, one, we're not even thinking about what we think about, let alone questioning our thoughts. By way, is this an absolute truth? Are there exceptions to this truth? Is there a different perspective? Is there an alternative approach? My favorite is, if I had to prove myself wrong here, could I? Usually the answer is yes. Embracing the gray asks us to realize that most situations and people are complex, and very, 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 very few things in life are black and white. Okay. Not only am I willing to be wrong, I like to be curious about how I am. I just like to assume that my way of thinking is erroneous in some way. Like, why would I think that? Because it serves me so, so, so much better than thinking my thinking is right. Curiosity is the way out of the black and white box, friends. Curiosity drops us into wonderment. It allows us to grow. It allows us to connect. It allows us to see potential and possibility. I was asked once what emotion I thought was the best emotion to help support our dreams and goals. What a great question, right? What a great question. Before I give you an answer, what do you think it is? I want to know. Tell me what you think it is. What do you think is the best emotion to help support our dreams and our goals? And I thought about it. And for me, it's the one of curious. Curious always allows you to access gray. It allows you to consider that negative emotion is required. It looks like this. I wonder what negative emotions I'm going to have to experience in order to get my goal. I wonder if I can tolerate these emotions. I wonder if I want to. Do I want to waste my wants on this dream, this goal? I wonder, who would I have to become to do the things that are required for my goal? I wonder what I would have to learn about myself in order to do that. I wonder what I would have to learn in general in order to do that. I wonder if I could be a person that is capable of doing that. I believe that wonderment is the key to fulfillment. Wonderment allows you to have access to possibility, right? It says, oh, geez, there you are. Oh, you have ideas? You have thoughts? You have beliefs? Wait, you exist? You matter? And from that place of mattering, you will be willing to embrace the entirety of you. The good, the bad, the awesome, the awful. This is how you get uncaged. This is how you get unstuck. This is where you realize and embrace the truth of the gray, that sometimes you're a good mom and a good wife and a good husband and a good leader, and sometimes you're not. And from this honest assessment is where true confidence and true self-regard come from. And this is what is entirely true. From this place, you can have a good life while committing to a great one. Your good life doesn't have to suffer. Achieving both a good and a great life requires this combination of embracing contentment in the present moment while also pursuing growth and purpose and fulfillment. So can you define what good and great mean to you? Everyone's definition is going to look different. And I think a good foundation actually is what is required for a great life, not in lieu of it. When people share with me that they're in a good place right now and they don't want to mess it up, with a new rhythm or new habits or new routines or new ways of thinking or new ways of managing their life because they're afraid that the good life will be ruined. I share with them lovingly that this good life that you made for yourself is the way to the great one that's on your heart. This good life, this is what was required to take the steps to great. And if you have this question on your heart, if you have thoughts or considerations for more, and this is your fear, I have awesome news for you. You are on the cusp of a breakthrough. You know in your heart that there's something more. However, your mind is shutting it down in fear and uncertainty and doubt about the sacrifice. And you get to remind your brain that there's sacrifice either way. And hey, listen, we are not giving up good for great. We achieved good. We laid the foundation of good. We hooked ourselves up for great by that. We got this far. Let's see what else we're capable of. Not because it will be any better over there, because it won't, but to see who we can become. Because heck, that's going to be super fun and super awesome to explore. So friends, can you allow yourself to appreciate and to be grateful for the good? Because that was what was required for you to take steps into great. And if you want support and if you want help in that, you know how to reach me, you know how to contact me. And I just appreciate each and every one of you doing this work, because in doing this work, you will most likely be listening to that nudge in your life for more. That more is available to you without the sacrifice that I think that you're thinking it will take. You've already made the sacrifice this far to get to good. I believe in you. You got this. Have an amazing and beautiful rest of your day, my friends. Take care. See you soon. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to the Becoming You Show with me, your host, Leah Rowling, where I share big ideas to inspire, impact, and influence your life. Tune in every Friday at 11 Central on TransformationTalkRadio.com for your morning cup of coffee, the hug you never want to end, and that inspirational message that you felt was written just for you. Each show is inspiring you to become you with purpose and intention. For more information or to connect with me, visit www.leahrowling.com.